Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон. Trap сонсон, trap сонсон. Trap сонсон, trap донтсон. Түүний сонсон хөгжим дур булаан. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey, everyone, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. The gang is back. We got Tyler, the Marine Smith, as well as the Ween Dog is
What's
here.
What's up, dude?
It's going to be a great podcast.
Yeah.
I want to thank Speedweed. Listen, marijuana is legal in California. They will deliver it right to you. Don't go to the dispensary. Don't waste your time. Don't fall for that trap where they just, get you for a DUI and then you got to pay 20 grand because and your insurance goes through the roof and yada, 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 which, by the way, I got it. I'll tell you about that. But anyway, so don't do that, all right? I didn't get it. No, I was picking my wife's brother up from the airport, who I love, great kid, but didn't realize you had to be outside to get picked up. So I kept circling. And then,
he was waiting for you inside the airport?
Yeah, yeah. And then I made an illegal red light. The baby was in the back. She pooped. And I made an illegal turn on a red, and then I got pulled over. And I don't know how much that's going to be. Anyway, don't be like me, okay? Mm. Go to Speedweed. Marijuana is legal, and they got the best CBD. I'm telling you, CBD Sex Lube has saved my marriage, all right? They also have edibles. They have all kinds of stuff. Mention Roasted, you get $10 off, $100 or more. Mm-hmm. Also, Sparks Cannabis.
What's up, guys? Let me talk to you about Sparks Cannabis. It's a vertically integrated, family-owned and operated cannabis company out of California Central Valley. And they're going to remove the stigma and stereotypes that are associated with cannabis by showing how cannabis fits into the motto, everyone, every day. They got higher quality products, and they strive to provide curated experiences rather than a couch-locked high where you're just like sitting there like, oh, I can't move. No. Their Excite and Exhale product lines do this by focusing on the strains, terpenes, and how they interact to give you that curated experience. They're launching their flower line of premium pre-rolls and flower with pens and cartridges to follow by the end of the year. You got to try their Sparks pre-rolls with premium 2-to-1 CBD THC flower. Same premium flower with less kick. I've been smoking the Sparks cannabis, and trust me, people, this is the best stuff out there. By far the best stuff out there. And they love the planet, which is why they strive to be as eco-friendly as possible. And they're proud to be one of the first farms to have technologically advanced greenhouses that are completely solar-powered, which helps them reduce their carbon footprint, okay? You got to check it out. Sparks cannabis. You got to go SparksCannabis.com on Instagram. They're Sparks Cannabis, and they're great people. They're great marijuana, and you got to check them out. Sparks Cannabis, highly recommend.
Thank you, Sparks Cannabis. And I want to thank our newest sponsor, Froggy MMA. It's time to forget everything you believe you know about frogs, because this particular one will literally knock your shirts off. Okay, Froggy MMA. Yes, people. I'm talking about Froggy MMA. It is the new challenger in the ring, ready to take on the big guys with their new kick-ass collection of MMA gear. And listen, I don't care how tough you think you are. Some of you guys think you're so fucking tough. You're not that tough, okay? You can bet your bottom dollar that if you let these guys hit you with their gear, it will be an instant knockout. Boom. Faster than Ben Askren get knocked out. 5 seconds. But you're out. You're out cold. Because their shirts and hoodies are so damn fluffy and comfortable, it will make grown-up men curl in fetal position with a huge grin on their face. I love doing that, especially after sex.
Every time I sleep, I end up waking up in a complete fetal position.
Really?
Like, it's comfortable.
It is comfortable.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
And they're even softer than Bisping after round two against Henderson, okay? These shirts feel so good on your skin, you'll never want to take them off again, unless it's a change to another one, all right? They even got one for my little baby. They gave her a little baby onesie.
Nice.
It's her favorite thing to wear. Okay, you better get one each day of the week. Otherwise, I can guarantee you it'll become part of your body. You won't be able to take the thing off, okay? And don't forget your kids or the other half. My wife has a Froggy MMA thing. I have a Froggy MMA. Honestly, she never wears my shirts. She wears a Froggy MMA.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm telling you, and they will love you forever being so considerate. You'll never have to fork out money for marriage or canceling, nothing, okay? There's more, because this frog isn't in it for the money. They're not. It's for Chris and Joe, the founders of Froggy MMA. They're actually amazing people. They came to go see my show in Atlanta like 3 different times. I think it was in Tennessee. They came from Atlanta.
Whoa.
And they train with Lima, the Lima brothers.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, they're really good people, okay? And they've taken themselves into support the sport, and they know how frustrating it is to obtain sponsorships, to deal with promotional demands, and they're like, screw that, we're going to do it because of their love of the game. So support them, okay? They're sponsoring Josh Danger Marrer, Chelsea Bandita Brooks, and Hurricane Heather Joe Clark. Yes, Heather. We love Heather, okay? And with your help, they'll be able to soon add more people to fighters to their families. So check them out. Froggy MMA. Froggy MMA. Follow them on Instagram. Follow them on Twitter. Check them out. Froggy MMA. And as well as Bet Online.
While baseball season is in full swing, placing a wager on baseball has never been easier with all the best odds at betonline.ag. This week, I am watching the Braves take on the Miami Marlins. But wait, can you believe the NFL preseason's underway too? Huh? Huh? How cool. Well, to celebrate another season kickoff, betonline.ag and CLNS Media are giving you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to join it today and use promo code CLNS50 to receive your welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines this football season. No, get into the action with betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Please see BetOnline's general rules for additional terms and conditions. Okay, a minimum of $55 is required to qualify for the bonus, and check it out.
All right, so let's talk about some of the fights that went down over the week. First of all, we'll talk about my week, first of all. So last week was crazy. So last Wednesday, I had a show first at a rehab center in Malibu.
Nice.
Which I was late to, but I'm like, if anyone is forgiving, it's these people.
Because you were high?
I just was like,
sorry, guys. I was sparking a J in the car.
Yep.
I actually just felt like my comedy was sort of inappropriate, but they were laughing. But then I'm like, you know what? These guys must have heard much worse than what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
And then I had a show in, I forgot where it was. It was in Hawthorne, where I was the only white person in, like, anywhere close.
Very nice.
And the host was a nice guy, but he just kept doing, like, you know, like, when it's not working, like, it's not working, you know? And he kept going, and then he was having, like, a name that tune where he's like, I'm going to play a song, and you guys can win a beer. It was just like, it was rough. And then I went on and, like, I felt like I was George Carlin in there. And they were dying laughing. Then I flew with Russell Peters. We get a show. I flew to, which they felt like first class, which was great. It's always good when you're in first class, 'cause you can see everyone walking past you.
Yeah.
Great
feeling.
Yeah. I stick up
great
my hand.
Great feeling know you're above the others.
I'm like, good game. And then, so then I flew to Louisiana, and then we drove to Mississippi the next day, and it was like,
that's a fun drive.
It was only an hour.
Oh,
it was in Biloxi. 1,500 people, and they were awesome. It was like, I did 30 minutes up top. And Russell's like, do whatever you want.
Rad.
Staying in, like, in the hotel, which is like, it was like an MGM, like, affiliate, you know? So then that night after, I was like on a super high, because I haven't performed in front of that many people in a long time. And the night before, I was in front of four people in Hawthorne.
Yeah, high on adrenaline.
Rehab center. Oh.
Like adrenaline high.
Adrenaline high.
Yeah.
Then we flew private that night, which is like, I've never flown private before, especially when they're like, what time's the plane leave? Whenever we get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's so cool.
And it was me. So we flew to Maryland that night, got in at like 3 o'clock in the morning, went, I did a show that night at the MGM in Maryland, sold out, 1,500 people. It was just awesome. It was
dude.
And it wasn't, I thought it was gonna be mostly Indians. It wasn't, it was like very mixed crowd. Mm-hmm. Russell was like super cool. He had a DJ with him, DJ Spinbad, who's like a pretty famous DJ, nice guy. And then he has three camera guys that go with him. So when he does crowd work, you could see on the screen who he's talking about.
Oh, nice.
So then that was awesome. Then we watched the fight in the back. We had the fight in the back.
Rad.
Afterwards. And then I flew back the next morning. From Maryland to LA, that was on Sunday, and then,
nice.
And then you know, then it's reality again.
What a weekend!
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like every shitty gig I've done I felt like it was worth it.
Just built, yeah, built to that point.
Yeah, because, and you know, now I'm going to do like a show in front of six people tonight. Tomorrow night I'm at Little Rock. It's
awesome.
Like $2 admission. Like, who knows, there's going to be 12 people there. But it was still like, and it was so much fun. I mean, they were a great crowd. They were didn't care how dirty I was or offensive. They were into it. They were super into it. And Russell could not have been cooler because I was like, Russ, anything, you know, want me to wear, like a suit? Or he goes, Adam, you do your show, I'll do my show. He's like, I'm not telling you what to wear. You do, awesome. Do whatever you want on stage. And I was like, fucking great, you know? And I was, you know, sometimes you don't want to like do too well or whatever. I'm like, fuck it. Right. Like, I'm going for blood. And he went for blood. And it was a great show. So I was like,
hopefully you got some new fans out of it.
Yeah, I got so many new Indian fans on my Instagram. The only problem was like,
they're asking you for Bob's and Vagin pieces.
The only problem was, I didn't, but the one joke I never do did really well about Hinduism, how it's a beautiful religion because if you're good in this life, you come back something better in your next life. You know, what about people who died and came back as you? Like how bad were their lives? You know, they're coming, so that killed. And here's the only thing bad. I wanted Russell to like me so much. We're friends.
Yeah.
But I still felt like I wanted him to like enjoy me so much that he'll take me everywhere.
Yeah.
Right, I might have been trying too hard. I did that with Rogan a little bit too. When I first met Rogan, I would ask him like 87 questions about fighting. Like, right, I wanted him to like me. And with Russell, sort of the same thing. Like, he gave me a couple tags for my jokes. So when he went up there, I gave him like 47 tags. I'm like, here's some, like, I'm like, maybe he'll hire me as a, like, it went so well that I was afraid of losing it for the next time, even though I didn't have it the next time.
Right.
And then I'm like, I need fucking therapy because this is what I'm worried about losing something that I don't even have. And that's sort of a problem that I, just in general. And then I was sort of being annoying. I felt like I wanted everyone, I was playing DJ and I was talking and we were just like talking too much.
I'm yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then Russ didn't text me back the next day and I'm like, great, he already fucking hates me.
Like, God damn it.
You know, but then he did. He's like, he texted me, he was like, man, I'm so happy we worked together, you killed it and this and that. So that was awesome. How are you guys doing? What's going on?
Go ahead, Tyler.
I went to fights this weekend.
Well, you went
night.
To them?
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Oh,
hell yeah. We got
shit,
our tickets like
we?
The day they went on sale. Ultimately, it was a great, great night of fights. You know, I had my disappointments. I went 0 for 3 on a parlay, but you know, whatever. It is what it is. It was fun card.
Who'd you pick in your parlay?
My parlay, I had I had Pettis, Yoel, and DC.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
So the story goes. I bet I'm feeling a lot less bummed than they are, which gives me some.
Where I fucked up on my bets, I do this every single week. The same mistake is that I'll have like 10 different bet slips open, and they'll be like mixed a little bit, but on each one will be like the same fighter that I pick for every single one. Like for this one, I had Ian Heinisch winning on every single one of my bet slips. So,
oh yeah,
you know,
that was, I don't know, man. Ian Heinisch is a great fighter and a tough fighter, but. Yeah. You know, don't forget the guy. Look, his whole story—he was in a prison, while Derek Brunson was training, and you know, he needs a—he's great, but I feel like he needs some time to catch up.
Yeah,
he's a little too young.
He looked good in the first round, though.
It's true. Yeah, and I thought this was going to be that kind of next. You know, we're going to see the next evolution of Heinisch because I picked him too. I didn't bet on him, but I picked him. And it was like, oh, all right, Brunson's still here.
Well, he's also smart because it feels like the way to get Brunson out is to get him out early. It seems like that's the way Brunson gets out. Mm-hmm. The only time that hasn't happened is Romero, and that fight was a little strange. Like, something, I think Romero, like, that was just a weird fight. Didn't he, like, something happened there? But, yeah, there was some good fights. Let's talk about the main event because I was kind of rooting for Stipe. Even though I like Cormier, I feel like... Stipe, I just felt kind of bad for him. I feel like he was an afterthought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone was sort of looking over him. And I'm like, guys, we're forgetting how good Stipe was. And I was happy that I was right. At the same time, I thought he was going to do better in some ways. Like, he was getting fucked up.
Mm-hmm. He was almost getting fucked up, and DC wasn't even trying to wrestle him. DC was just playing this let's pepper each other boxing game.
Which is crazy.
Stipe cracked him, you know? So it's like, well, yeah. And I said it 30 seconds before it happened. I was like, dude... I don't have a good feeling. Like, Stipe or DC needs to wrestle him right now. Right. Like, yeah. Right now. Because I don't know. I saw something. Maybe it was a body punch or something. And it was like, no, I can see this happening. And then, boom.
It was kind of like Mike Tyson's punch out with King Hippo. Remember that, like, yes, how you could beat King Hippo? You
see the stars.
Like, every time his like pants fell down, you punch him in the stomach or something. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like he just figured out, like...
It was. Like, it took, like, a minute. It just... He figured it out and went... And something went, oh.
Yeah.
Stipe was like, oh.
Well, you could tell that those body shots were hurting him.
Yeah.
You could tell he was like, he was sort
wincing
of
a little bit,
playing poker face. And I was happy for Stipe. At the same time, I knew it was going to be one of those things where whoever lost, I would wish they would have won.
Yeah.
Because I like both those guys. At the same time, if DC would have gotten him down on the first earlier, that fight might have been stopped. Like when he had him sort of just covering up.
Yeah.
Like, if that would have happened 1 minute into the left in the round, they would have stopped it. It would have been a first-round stoppage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was happy he didn't stop it because Herb Dean almost, you could see, he was contemplating, should I stop this? And but it was a great fight. Who wins the rematch? That's an interesting question.
The third fight?
Yeah, the third fight, if it happens, and it should happen.
Because the thing about DC is he looked amazing in those first. Yeah. He won every minute of that fight until the last.
Yeah.
So when it comes to him retiring, I don't think he should retire yet because he still looks amazing.
I mean, you could have given Stipe round, I think it was round two maybe, or one of the rounds where they were like, I mean, I was watching it and I'm like, one of those things where I'm like, all right, I could have easily, not easily, but I would have given DC every round.
Yeah.
But if I was looking to give Stipe a round, there were a couple rounds that were close. Like, you know, and I was sort of pulling for Stipe, even though I like DC and DC's my friend and Stipe's my friend, it was a great fight. I don't know who wins the rematch.
It's weird because DC
really
DC's not a champion anymore. DC, so no matter what his next fight is, it has to be a championship fight for something, right?
I feel like DC has done enough for the UFC and is in a good graces and is such a great guy that they'll give him a rematch with Stipe, an automatic rematch. Also because, I mean, Ngannou wants it, the winner, but...
Which would kind of be a low-key slap in the face to Stipe, too.
What?
Giving it DC an immediate rematch. Because he didn't even defend it. Or I guess he did defend
it. Yeah, but Ngannou... I mean...
He defended against Ngannou and Derek Lewis.
Is Ngannou an easier fight than DC in some ways? This new, improved Ngannou?
I don't think so. I don't think it's an easier fight. Ngannou learned to sprawl. That's all he needed to do.
Yeah.
Because Stipe's only takedown against him was a double leg. You know, push him up against the cage and double leg him. So.
And if he gets rocked by one of those punches, I mean, if he gets hit the way he was getting hit with DC against Ngannou, that fight's over in 25 seconds.
Right. Which it would be complete. I mean, it wouldn't be the same. He wouldn't have the same style. You know, he wouldn't stand there and try to box Ngannou.
Well, I got to be honest. I mean, Stipe was a Golden Glove boxer. And it looked like DC was the better boxer in that fight.
Yeah.
And DC is notorious for having awkward hands.
Yeah.
He's known for his power, but his hands are a little strange. The way he kind of just, he looks like he's swatting flies.
Yeah,
he moves
very unorthodox.
But it was a great fight.
Well, if you ask me, I don't think the UFC should do a trilogy fight there. I think the best fight for pay-per-view buys would be... You guys already know what it is, right?
Stipe, John Jones?
Hell yeah, dude.
I know.
Heavyweight title.
And I think, I hope Jones does not beat Stipe, but I can see that happening.
Oh, I think John Jones will whoop Stipe's ass.
Really?
Yep.
You think he whoops his ass?
I think he whoops his ass. Just like DC was whooping his ass.
Here's why.
They're the same height?
Here's why, though. Stipe has more power. I mean, Cormier has more power than John Jones.
True.
And the one that rocked him in the first was a power shot, right? So Jones will have to use his distance against Stipe. And I don't know. I mean, who has better wrestling? They both have good wrestling. Both great wrestling.
Great wrestling, yeah.
You got to say that Jones has the speed advantage. Stipe
has the speed advantage. Jones has the submission advantage, I think. I think Jones has the tactical advantage.
Stipe has the power advantage.
Skill and ability advantage.
Power,
I mean, what does Stipe do? He throws 1-2s.
Power, weight, strength, all go to Stipe, though.
I don't know if weight and strength would go to Stipe. Stipe came in at, 236 pounds? 230 pounds?
But Stipe knocks out guys like... I mean, he knocks out Verdum.
True.
You know, he knocks out Overeem. Do we see John Jones knocking out Overeem?
John Jones has a stoppage in like 20 fights.
He hasn't knocked out anybody. Well, except for DC with a kick.
Yeah.
I don't see Jones knocking out anyone that Stipe has knocked out.
Yeah, I don't think he knocks any of them out either.
That's why it's such a good fight to make.
I think he grounds and pounds him. I think he takes them all down and grounds and pounds him.
You think he takes down Stipe and grounds and pounds him? Really?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Fuck. But you also said that DC was going to win. And who here picked Stipe? This guy.
You did.
Right?
You did. So fair enough.
Fuck off.
Fair enough. But DZ was winning four rounds of that fight.
But who? So, it doesn't matter who wins. It goes that my little brother said the same thing.
John Jones is not going to make the stupid mistakes.
My little brother does that too, Matt. My brother, you know, I love. But he says to me, just so you know, DC's knocking out Stipe, right? And then when I, after the fight, I just put, I don't know if he watches, I just put a question mark, question mark, question mark. And then he write back, yeah, he was winning every round. But dude, that doesn't matter.
See, but I'm also not saying he's going to knock him out. I don't think he's going to knock him out.
And then I think
he grounds and pounds.
He said the same thing about Colby and Robbie Lawler. He said, Robbie's going to knock out Colby. I wrote back, you were saying, you know? And then he writes back, that was the worst he looked.
Oh, my God.
That doesn't mean you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Colby, the hate for Colby Covington in the Honda Center on Saturday night.
Which I don't understand.
Was palpable.
We're in a liberal state. That's why.
Not Anaheim. I mean, well, there's a lot of Trump supporters in Orange County, though.
Oh, yeah, because all old white people, retired people.
Well,
yeah.
That are happy.
This was a very Nate Diaz friendly crowd.
Very
they
Mexican.
Were all, like, dude, everybody cheered for Nate Diaz when he came out. Every single person.
Yeah, but where would that not
happen,
though?
True. But here it just felt different. It felt like this was Nate's home crowd.
Okay.
You know? And those people.
Does he, the Mexicans don't like Colby?
Not like the Colby Covington.
I don't know who does like Colby. I mean, I guess if he goes to like a Trump rally, he'll be celebrated. I mean, there are certain
That'd be
places,
a smart move for him, too.
Certain places he would be loved.
Mm-hmm. Open workout, do an open workout at a Trump rally?
Oh, it's funny because when I, like, there are certain places that I was at, like I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, they were all about Trump.
Really?
Maryland, they were not. I mean, he called the place a whole shithole.
Yeah.
You know? But it's funny, like, when I'll make Trump jokes, and my jokes are not, like, very anti-Trump. I make more anti-Hillary jokes than Trump, because I don't hate Trump. I'm not a Trump fan. I don't know if I'm voting for him. I like Tulsi Gabbard, to be honest.
I love Tulsi.
I've heard a lot of people come out and say they like Tulsi.
I've been talking Tulsi for, like, the last 2 years.
So, I mean, so, at the same time, I'm not one of these people that everything Trump does is, I hate him, I think he's racist. I mean, we got to say, if he does some good stuff and the economy's great. And anyway, let's not. Anyway, my point is that some people are just like, no matter what you say, they hate Trump. They can't. Trump could save a child that would like, they don't have a building. And they'll be like, but he wouldn't save him if he was Mexican. I mean, they'll just tell you why.
Exactly.
This guy can do no right, you know, which is, I think, pretty stupid. Come on.
Yes.
But I love Colby Covington. We all know this.
I love Colby.
This is a pro-Colby podcast.
It's a very pro-Colby podcast.
And I don't dislike Usman. I think that Usman unfollowed me for some reason, but I think that might have been more his manager. I just think that... But you have to understand Colby's shtick. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing a shtick. He was in TNA wrestling.
If you can't see that, then you're dumb.
I can't even name a fighter right now that's as entertaining as Colby. You know what I'm saying? Or who makes headlines like Colby Covington.
Also, the fact is, he's never voted before. He's just like, they found out he never voted once in his life.
That's awesome.
He's like this pro-Trump guy.
That's funny.
Says, well, because that's because so nobody, awesome. Nobody, I didn't have the feelings I have towards that. Nobody represented me like Trump.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Come on, man. Like,
did he vote for Trump even?
No. He never voted in his life.
It's hilarious. Another reason to like him.
Yeah, that's even funnier.
It is. It is, though. The ultimate troll. He's Colby Chaos Covington. Chaos doesn't just mean that's what he does in the octagon.
Well, they were saying this.
His whole life is chaos,
came
dude.
Up to
he
Dana
loves chaos.
They said the whole time, like, hey, you might have to move Colby. But he said no, because there wasn't one seat empty in the arena.
Yeah.
And he said that people kept coming up and starting with Colby. Like, he wasn't starting anything.
Yeah.
He goes, he's the most popular, unpopular person in MMA right now. I just hope that it makes. I hope he gets paid because it would suck for him not to.
Sure.
I mean, I know. I think he got. He's getting paid, but I hope he gets paid what, like
what
a
he's
lot.
Worth.
Yeah, a lot.
Paid what he's worth and what he's bringing. You know, even if people are coming to see him lose, people are coming.
Yeah.
You know, if they're coming to see, if you're putting butts in the seats just to see him lose, those butts are still going into the seats.
And the Usman
so
fight.
That's on him.
And see, the thing about Mayweather is that when Mayweather, people hated Mayweather, but I think everybody knew at the time that Mayweather was going to win these fights.
Right.
They're like, oh, you know, even like Victor Ortiz, like these guys, they would prop up, and everyone kind of knew that Robert the Ghost Whitaker was not going to beat Mayweather. Right. Whereas with Usman, you're like, this is a good fight. Mm-hmm. This is not like John Jones, where they're kind of propping people up, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
I can see how Thiago Santos could win if he does this and that. It's you kind of knew Jones was going to win, except for the Cormier fight.
This is different.
Yeah.
This is different. I think Colby might take it.
The only way I see him losing is if he gets hurt early, because I don't think Usman's going to have his work rate.
It's going to be close. And that's what I'm really interested to see. Because Usman works like that too, just in a different way. He's more like the wrestling Khabib grind.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Than the up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down.
But if you look at Colby's fights, he's never lost a round. Except for the fight that he got choked out in. Like, all his fights, I think, were 30-27. I mean, except for maybe, who did he lose a round to? I mean, he won 5-0 against Maya.
Yep.
He won 5-0 against Robbie Lawler, maybe even bigger than that.
I think there was like 2 10-8 rounds.
I think he fought, I think, what was it, Barbarena, who was and Max Griffin. He won every round against Max Griffin. Barbarena against Dong Kim. I think he won every round against Dong Kim. So I don't think he's lost, except for Warley Alves, who, according to Colby, he had like a fucked up shoulder going to that fight, and Alves hit him with it. I was there at that fight. I can't see him. He hasn't lost a round, which is pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
But because of his antics, people forget that. People are like, oh, well.
Well, because he's not the most entertaining fighter either. So he's entertaining until he gets into the octagon, and then it's like he just does the work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's no flash, there's no pomp, there's nothing. It's just do the work. I respect the shit out of that.
Of course.
Because like, that mental game is so, like, the fact
if
that
John Jones
just, like,
had Colby covering his work ethic.
Oh, my God.
And even, you know, forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, there wouldn't be that Gustafson fight.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be that last fight.
It's almost like when Colby fights, it's almost like he's not in a fight because he's not going off timing and reaction. It's just like, just go. Just start button mashing.
It's sort of like
just
Clay Guida with more skill.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Clay Guida with
skill. It's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I like it too because I'm a guy who does not... when I started doing comedy, I took comedy classes and I was never the funniest person in the comedy classes. Never. But I'm the only one still doing comedy, pretty much. And when I wrestled, I was an average wrestler. My seventh grade year, my record was like 4-4. By the time I was in senior, I was 40-1. Okay, and it's just work ethic.
Yeah,
that's all it is. In MMA and wrestling is one of the only sports. I remember I was at Iowa wrestling camp, and Chad Zapital, who was a 3-time runner up in the nationals, which is like, oh, right. They call it bridesmaid in wrestling. You're a 3-time bridesmaid, which is kind of fucked up. But he was telling us, he had all the wrestlers there, and he said, listen, you know, wrestling is one of the only sports where you could be good at if you put the work in. He goes, I could stand under a basketball hoop and I could jump from now to the next 20 years. I'll never be able to dunk.
Yeah.
Ever. But wrestling, you're as good as you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's one of the few things in life that you could actually... Stand-up comedy is kind of like that because it's such a...
It's all on you.
Shitty, fucking fucked up business that people do comedy to get out of comedy. There was an old joke saying a comedian won the lottery, a road comic, and they said, what are you going to do with the money? He's like, oh, I'm going to do the road till the money runs out. But that's how little you're getting paid, basically. Yeah. Yeah. And so... You know, but stand-up comedy is you could be really good if you put the work in, because you'll figure out what doesn't work really quick,
right?
And you'll replace it with things that work,
right?
And kind of with same thing with wrestling and comedy. Jiu-jitsu is probably the same way. I'm sure it's the same way. There are kids that I was submitting that were blue belt, that were white belts, that I now see because I see them. I'm doing Muay Thai. They're purple belts, and I'm sure they would fuck me up at this point because they've been there.
Yeah.
You know,
they've been putting in the work.
They know the position. They know what to do. I mean, you know how frustrating it was when I would get a kid into a guillotine and squeeze as hard as I can for 10 minutes and he would just be sitting there like knowing that I'm not going to tap him? The only thing, that's just being there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And knowing that. There was another kid that was like this fucking little Asian dude that was a black belt that they would start off in guillotine position and he'd be able to like, or rear naked choke position. And he'd be able to get out every time.
Yep.
And I guarantee I could bench more than this fucking guy. And I couldn't get out of his, whatever he was doing. And it's just because it's just he's been there. He knows what to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's with everything, though. You know? Once you put in enough time, you're going to be a master at it. Eventually.
I don't know, man.
You have to put in the time.
So,
Nate. Takes you 20 years, takes 10 years.
Nate whatever. Diaz, Anthony Pettis. This fight, when it first started out, the first 20 seconds, I was like, the first 2 minutes, I was like, Nate looks kind of off. And then we got that takedown. It was just a different fight.
Yeah, dude. Nate, he shocked me, honestly.
Mm-hmm. We're great.
Shocked me. I was like, I was not expecting a Nate Diaz like that. That active of a Nate Diaz. Like, he's always in shape. I get it. Like, oh, yeah, you know, he stays in shape. He trains. He runs triathlon. He looked phenomenal.
I'm happy for him.
You put him away.
And when they asked him about Colby Covington, he said, who?
Yeah.
He goes, what weight is he?
So great.
He goes, I don't pay attention to these new flash in the pan guys. Whatever.
Yeah. That Nate versus Masvidal fight is going to be sick, dude. That's going to be a five rounder for sure.
I don't know who wins that fight. Who do you think wins that fight?
I don't know. After watching Nate in this last one.
Yeah.
You know,
and
we're
watching
like,
Masvidal in five.
And watching Masvidal in the last one.
But the Masvidal that like lost to Iaquinta, who I thought won, by the way, and the Masvidal that's fighting now is a different guy.
Yeah.
Right now, I think Masvidal probably wins that fight just because I think his camp is so smart with coming up with game plans and stuff. That's like, what is it, ATT?
Yeah.
It's like the best MMA camp gym, I think, in my opinion, out there right now.
Seems like it.
That and AKA.
Yeah.
Seems
they're
like
close.
It.
If they're not the best, they're damn close.
Yeah.
I forgot to say that Brock Lesnar told Kurt Angle that he wants to come back and fight Jon Jones.
Great.
Jones said he'll embarrass Brock Lesnar.
He will.
Should they even make this fight?
No.
Like that time has come and gone.
I mean, look, if Brock comes back and fights, will I watch it? Yes. Absolutely.
Now, if they
especially if he's fighting Jon Jones.
What if they fight in Ryzen where it's...
Steroids are legal?
Who wins the steroid Brock versus steroid Jones?
I don't know. Steroid Brock might just pick him up and squeeze him.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why he never did that. Just go clinch and body lock and just pick him up and squeeze.
Like fucking Bane from
Batman.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because he hates getting hit.
Break their back.
He hates getting punched. True. I mean, remember that fight against Cain Velasquez?
Yeah.
People are remembering Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt. But they're forgetting Brock Lesnar versus Overeem and Kane, which was getting sad.
Yeah.
But I think diverticulitis Brock, the guy, the Brock Lesnar that put Frank Mir in a headlock, a schoolyard headlock, and just
and
shovel punch him,
face.
Was the greatest Brock. That was almost the greatest. Like that night, there are certain guys where that night, I don't think anybody could have beaten Brock Lesnar. UFC 100. Could you think of any heavyweight in the history of time that would have beaten Brock Lesnar? Maybe Fedor, but...
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, that was a different beast.
That Shane Carwin win, too, was like...
But he was getting murked by Carwin.
He should have been stopped. But
that was after...
Just the fact... But it's Brock Lesnar who we're talking about. Hates getting punched.
Oh, yeah.
Came back after getting just beaten. His face battered.
Yeah.
And submits the guy.
It's
like,
crazy.
What?
Also, it got announced October 27th or 28th. Ben Askren... versus Maya. Askren tweeted out, this will just determine who the best grappler is, which I put a joke. I'm like, yeah, the audience will be grappling to stay awake. Yeah. And then people were like, you're a newbie. You obviously don't like... I'm like, first of all, I love Ben Askren. I can't wait for this fight.
Well,
these
friends.
Are fucking jokes, people, okay? Like, come on.
Newbie.
Yeah, okay. Someone's like, go watch Glory. I'm like, no, I don't want to watch...
I absolutely will watch Glory.
Yeah, I'll watch
Thank
Glory too,
much.
But like, leave me alone. I don't know about this one, though, because I feel like Ben's advantage is grappling against people.
Right.
And now he doesn't have the advantage anymore.
I mean, but he has grappling with striking. And that's the equalizer in this, is the striking. Because,
has anyone ever submitted Maya?
No, he's not going to submit Maya, but he could sit on him for five rounds and punch him a couple times. You know? I could see it happening. If Ben stays focused on staying on top... Like, look, what you have to avoid with Damian Maia is a sweep and a back take. That's it. If you're on top and he's working his guard and you're just peppering each other back and forth and stands back up, you get a takedown, you're on top, you're working back and forth. That's what it's going to be.
Now, what do you think about...
Unless Damian Maia takes his back. Then
what do you think
over.
About the whole Ben Askren, Dylan Danis, Pettis thing that went on over the weekend? You hear about that?
No.
So Anthony Pettis saw Masvidal and said, hey, man, I'm happy for you, blah, blah, blah. And there was a video of it. And then Dylan Danis tweeted out, wow, you know, you need new friends, Ben, or something. And then Ben was like, maybe I do need new friends. I thought we were cool, me and you. You know, I think this is a little bit, like, he kind of like, I can't tell if he was being serious or not, but it seemed like he kind of was.
This was Ben to Anthony Pettis?
Yeah. Like,
well, because they train, they're the same gym.
I think they were. I don't know. Like, that gym's weird. Like, supposedly Askren did his training camp where he lives and was bringing in like Biggie Mike Rhodes and someone else.
I mean,
else.
Whatever it is. And, like, they're both Duke Rufus guys.
Yeah.
And Pettis and Masvidal are boys. So it's like, I mean, whatever. We all have friends that don't like our other friends. I got plenty
okay,
of them.
So Pettis says there's no beef between Ben Askren after Masvidal praise. Pettis was caught in the potential drama regarding a comment he made at one of the embedded. So what happened was Askren responded but was being sarcastic, maybe, but calling it unacceptable and saying, I don't need fake friends, just that he wasn't too amused. So then, and then Masvidal then wrote, hey, you're such a good friend, why are you causing drama the day of his fight? About Pettis. Like, it was like really kind of weird, like they were going back and forth. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You could be friends with someone who knocked you out. You could be like Ben shouldn't get upset about that.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe he should.
I don't think so. I don't see where, like, it's one guy congratulating another guy. Who cares, man? Like, who cares? You know, I don't think it's a spit in the face to either of them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like...
I don't know. Dan Hardy plans on re-entering the USADA pool. That'd be cool, but I don't know how... It's like 60 at this point. I like Dan
Hardy. How in Adam's mind, MMA fighters age like dog years.
They do. It's their body. Yeah, MMA years are different. They are, man. They are. Like, your body goes through so much. Like, you could be 35. Your body's 50.
Hardy's
like,
fucking up there, but good for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, how old is he? I mean, how old is he? 35, 36?
He's got to be around there. Yeah. I like the guy a lot.
And guys are still... I mean, we saw on Saturday, Yoel Romero's 40 years old and still like...
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that, by the way.
Can do it like the rest of them.
That fight was awesome. I mean,
that fight was awesome.
Dean Thomas had me convinced that Costa was not on the level of Romero, that Romero fought the better guys. It was going to be a mismatch. Mm-hmm. Dean Thomas, man, sorry, but you were wrong on that one.
Yeah.
Costa looked amazing.
Well, Michael Bisping made a really interesting point. He was talking about Cuban wrestlers in particular, where he's like, Cuban wrestlers will do exactly the amount of work they need to do to win. They're not going to, like, if your output is 85%, their output's going to be 86%. He's never going to go like, oh, shit, it's possible that I might lose this fight. I better push a little harder. Mm-hmm. It's just, no, he's coasting, I'm coasting. He's pushing, I'm pushing.
But who do you think
he's
won
doing
that
this,
fight?
I'm doing that. I think Romero won that fight.
Really?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I think Costa won that fight. Who do you think won?
Probably Costa.
I think he won at least one round, one definite, and mm-hmm. two, maybe three went to Romero. I mean, what round did you think he won? I mean, you were there. Did it look?
I thought being there, I gave them all to Romero.
All three rounds.
I thought it was
the crowd was behind Romero though.
The crowd was behind Romero, yes, but he landed a lot more to the head. He did more damage, way more damage. I mean, their actual strikes, like significant strikes, were about equal.
Maybe, but his striking was crazy. His technique is like...
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. Like, he could have been a lot cleaner.
And what was he taking on his tongue? And it was very strange.
He's a weird guy, man.
I mean, you think about this guy, people forget that Romero's, like, number one, an amazing fighter. Obviously, one of my favorite. But the guy, like, shit himself one fight. Or it looked like he shit himself. Then he wouldn't get off a stool. Remember that fight against Tim Kennedy?
Yeah.
Then he was like... Wasn't he holding the gloves, or was Kennedy holding his gloves and punching him?
He said Kennedy was holding his gloves.
Okay, yeah. So there was a whole stool thing. Then when he knocked out, what was it, Luke Rockhold, he said, "Don't be for or be for." Was it Dave Branch? He
no,
said,
for gay Jesus.
Don't
dude.
Be for gay Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Then he tried to make out with Rockhold after the fight. Like every one of his fights, for a guy,
there's some weird, some funky thing happens. Yep. I love it, dude.
I
love
y'all,
Romero.
This fight was like probably the most normal. I mean, he goes by 41. He could be like 51 or 60. Because normally Cubans are a lot younger or older than they say they are.
Yeah,
but true. Those bodies. How do you get a body like that?
Dude,
both of them.
Genetics.
Genetics.
Yo Romero.
I mean, he's black.
Yo Romero is genetics.
He's Cuban.
Oh.
Well, yeah, but like Cubans are half of Cuba is just African dudes.
Well, they're blacker than us.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, for sure.
Wait, you think it's genetics? Come on.
I think. Well, obviously Jews. Obviously,
it's obviously Jews.
Yeah.
But how are they getting paid? He won. He sued and got, he made money on steroids.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know.
The guy
has, dude, he has to be juicy.
I mean, both of them, though.
Costa, for sure, because of Costa's background, I'm more inclined to say he's like, if you had to pick between them, then Costa. He's a bodybuilder. Like, that's what they do.
Oh,
they just do steroids
God.
And lift weights.
No, I liked it. I was just like, I mean,
oh, it was a great
I love
fight.
The fight.
It was a great fight.
And by the middle of the fight, you forgot they were both, like, on stuff. But who knows if they're even on stuff, allegedly. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, both of them could be completely clean now.
Crazy.
And that's the thing. Like, they could be clean now, but we've all seen, like, the pre- and post-steroid body with Vitor.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but the
changes.
Thing is that these guys,
you don't,
know,
you don't
these guys always look
same.
Like that, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So far, we've never seen anything, but Yoel Romero, like, came out of the womb with, like, a 12-pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being for, like, you know, gay bottles or whatever, or not for gay bottles. Sadiq Youssef. Happy for him.
Oh, looked phenomenal.
That dude, I'm going to talk to him later. You can hear it on Rockfin if you're a Rockfin fan and you're a fan of me. By the way, I'm going on Rockfin because I coach wrestling and Jordan Burroughs puts his wrestling videos up there and his techniques. Ben Askren puts his stuff up there. Jordan Oliver puts his stuff up there. Tony Ramos puts his stuff up there. So we're going to have a whole great team now. By the way, they're looking for a coach in Woodland Hills. Did I get the email? They're looking to hire a coach in Woodland Hills.
Not interested.
Not for you, but I'm saying if you know anybody out there.
Yeah, I'll ask.
So Derek Brunson beat my man Ian Heinisch, who, you got to look, once again, Ian went from prison to, a cannery prison to like Rikers. The fact that he's even there is a win. And
it really is. It really is. And hats off to him.
Hats off to Brunson for having a smart game plan, too, and not going Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I mean, he's
finally.
Like, finally, right? That
finally.
Was his, he was finally, well, he was
like,
getting
oh,
caught.
Oh, hey, I'm a wrestler? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. College wrestler. Kama Worthy. Man, knocked out Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was gnarly.
I didn't see that fight.
That
God
was
damn it.
Gnarly, man. And everything pointed to Devontae Smith should have won that fight, you know? We didn't really know much about Kama Worthy aside from the fact that they're training partners. And usually, if two guys are training partners, one of them makes it to the UFC and the other one isn't. It's pretty easy to say, like, oh, well, that guy's better.
Right.
man, he looked super bummed. I feel for him.
Yeah, he'll be back. Corey
for
Sanhagen,
sure.
who, man, I've always liked this guy, but now I'm really taking him seriously.
Dude, he was nasty.
I mean, Asensio
was perfect. Like
no
he
joke.
Fought, he fought perfect. He was good on the bottom. He was good on the top. He was good on the feet. Like, I don't know. It's gonna be whoever he fights next is gonna have a tough fight ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. And my man Dracar Close, love that guy. Also, what you thought he lost?
No, he definitely won. But
he's a, what you don't like him?
Christos is my dude.
Oh yeah. But I like Dracar. I hung out with him in Arizona. Nice guy.
Nice.
Very humble guy. Came from, like, I think from Detroit, like rough beginnings.
Yeah, rough upbringing.
Now he's...
There was a moment where it looked like he was about to lose.
And now he's dating, what's her name? The girl from, the girl that gave Felice Herrig the finger. Remember they got into a fight? She's, like, she's kind of hot. But she
it's coming back
hot.
To me. It's coming back to me.
You know what I'm talking about? She's a college soccer player from, like, Indiana.
Oh, She got a chin on her.
Yeah.
She got a chin on her. Like a
Courtney Casey.
Courtney Casey,
that's
yeah.
It. That's it.
Yeah, those two are dating.
Was it the chin?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the chin.
Yeah.
They should breed those two because they'll have some athletic kids.
Some athletes.
Yeah.
And then
Courtney Casey's hot, man.
My man Brandon Davis lost. That kind of sucked. Jody Escobar lost. And Sabrina Mazo looked really good against Shayna Dobson.
She looked really good.
I mean, 30-24, 30-25, 30-25.
Damn. Especially considering her debut, which she lost.
Who'd she lose to?
I can't remember.
Yeah, she's from out here too, right?
Yeah. She, I mean, she lost. She lost a decision, I think. Or she got submitted.
Mm.
One or the other.
And Ryzen.
She just came out slow.
Horiguchi got knocked out in 1 minute.
Who?
And Ryzen.
By who?
Kai Asukara. 1 minute, 8 seconds.
Damn.
Knocked out a guy that beat Darion Caldwell twice. A guy that everyone says an American Top Team is the best fighter at ATT. Got knocked out in 1 minute.
Crazy.
Against this guy. Kai Asukara.
All
right. Could just
see.
Be a freak knockout.
Could be.
You never know. I haven't seen it.
The guy's 10-1.
We'll have to watch.
And then Victor Henry won. That's Barnett's guy.
Barnett's dude.
And then MMA. My man Jarrett Brooks got a draw. Headbutt. That
the
sucks.
Monkey God?
The Monkey God. And Justin Scoggins won.
Nice.
He's back on track.
Nice.
Which is good.
Good for him.
Upcoming event this week, the Contender Series. You watching that at all?
I have watched it. Yeah. I don't really watch it religiously
because
it's Tuesday nights, right? I work Tuesday nights, so.
Sam.
I was into it at first, but I hated Snoop Dogg. That like turned me off to it.
Oh, I love Snoop Dogg.
He was saying like you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You bitch, calling guys bitches funny. And stuff, and
they
like,
still do that.
No, they replaced him.
That was when he did it with like Ryo.
You're whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't like Snoop Dogg at all. But he was a douche. It's a
tough name, man. Give me a break.
I don't know what it is about. I don't know why I'm not watching it. I should watch it.
Because they have great fights.
Yeah.
They got great fights.
They're bringing back the Ultimate Fighter,
like,
by the way.
It's all like
really
champions, former champions. That's awesome.
I wonder who's going to be coaches.
Any
rumors?
I said it should be Colby versus...
John Jones, Stipe.
Colby versus... Usman. But they're going to fight. People said no because whoever the coaches are, it always jinxes them or something.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not fair for a fight like that. It's not fair to have them coaching a fucking reality show like while they're supposed to be in
camp. Tell me it wouldn't be awesome.
I would watch every episode.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Colby Covington.
I do get worried that he would say something stupid and get himself banned from the UFC or something.
Do you think maybe, like, who are some chick fighters that can be the team captains?
I don't know, but Bellator.
Amanda and then Jermaine Durandamy.
Nah.
You see who Bellator cut?
No.
Bellator cut Chidi Ngannou. I mean, Chidi Bang Bang.
Chidi Bang Bang, yeah.
Yeah. They cut
what's
like
freaking name?
Five guys that Chidi Njikawani.
Njikawani, yes.
Yeah. I don't understand why that would happen. Like,
you cut Anthony Njikawani?
No.
Or not Anthony. It's the other one, right?
Yeah, brother. His brother who's like just fought for like a title or something.
Yeah, dude. I mean, they got to make room. They got to make room for the retirees, you know?
He just fought Rafael Carvalho.
Make room for DC coming.
But they cut him. They cut the Israeli guy, Noad Lahat.
Noad Lahat?
Yeah, who's like the best fighter ever from Israel.
There's only like two of them.
Doesn't matter. He's still the best.
Yeah.
Okay. So they cut nine guys 2 days ago. I'll tell you who they cut. Maybe makes no sense. They cut Chidi.
For Bellator to be cutting, it's like, why cut people? Why just like.
Not only that, but they have guys on the undercard that are like local guys. It's like a bringer fucking fight promotion. They cut Chidi. They cut Noah Lahat. They cut Hisaki Kato. He's the guy that beat Joe Schilling twice.
Joe Schilling. Oh, yeah.
Jared Trice, who was like undefeated heavyweight wrestler. Chris Honeycutt.
Really?
They fought J.J. Ambrose. They cut Carrington Banks.
They cut J.J. Ambrose?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't get it. I mean, he was just a co-headliner. Chitty. He lost to John Salter and Rafael Carvalho. All right, but he's still...
They're crazy over there at Bellator.
Lahat went 4-2.
This, you know.
Honeycutt went 7-3, and Jared Trice is 4-0, and they cut him. What, are they going to like sign Rikishi and fucking?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they had a
boss,
girl from,
boss is coming back to do one more.
They hired a girl from Hooters who fought today a couple of times ago.
No.
That hot girl from Miami with the ass that we talked about? Like, is the karate girl?
Oh, yeah.
Her opponent was like working at Hooters the week of the fight.
Wow.
And I don't know what Bellator's thinking. Bellator, you have good fighters. you don't need to go out searching for garbage on the street.
What's the point? I don't get it. I mean, I like these guys.
I mean, Scott Coker obviously has his reasoning behind things, and he's built a couple successful promotions.
Well, Noah Lahat was a paratrooper in the Israeli army.
Yeah, like, what the hell?
I mean, he was a paratrooper in the Israeli army. He trains with Khabib. He trains with those guys.
Yep.
He went 4-2. The guys he lost to, like, he lost to Darion Caldwell and, like, someone else. Like,
yeah, but he's a name. People know who he is. Like, why are you going to cut a guy like that?
Yeah, that guy's got two kids.
To sign some random, you know, Jack Swagger opponent.
Yeah. TJ, you know? TJ, whatever his name is. What was that guy's
TJ
name?
TJ Trash Can.
No idea.
But that guy, by the way.
You know, like.
Although, I do like that guy because I put it together, like. They put, like, there was, like, a list going around, like, top five, top this. Like, so I put, like, most overrated. I started with GSP. Then I put, like, best, like, greatest hands. I put Paulie Malignaggi. then it was, like, best current fighter. I put him.
Nice.
And then I put, like, it was, I just kept going. Like, most underrated fighter, James Toney. And that guy retweeted it and goes, I made the list of lists. So that guy
That's awesome.
Called out Bigfoot Silva and bare knuckle fighting.
Ooh.
They signed Bigfoot Silva.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Dude, Bigfoot Silva and bare knuckle fighting is a very interesting one to me.
I feel like he's got no chin.
He doesn't have a chin. That's the point. He has zero chin and he's got gimungous hands. So if he hits you first, he wins. If not, oh well. See you, Bigfoot.
By the way, Dakota Cochran listened to our podcast because he heard it and called out Hector Lombard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Based on our podcast.
Let's do it.
It's a good fight, right?
Let's do it. I love that fight. Dakota Cochran's killing it in bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah. Beat Johnny Hendricks and beat Chris Lieben.
Yep.
I mean.
Knocked them both out, right?
Hendricks knocked out, beat up Lieben.
Beat up Lieben.
And yeah, Lieben was looking unbeatable.
Oh, did you know Chase, our boy Chase Sherman is now the champion of bare knuckle boxing?
Yes.
The Vanilla Gorilla.
Yes.
So, I mean, dude, I love bare knuckle boxing. It's freaking
like
ridiculous
it's
as it is.
A life to these guys. That,
it's
like,
so fun to watch.
We
dude.
Thought we'd never see him again, and they are decent, and now they've just found this whole new home.
There's the beautiful. There's, what's her, the Australian
Rowdy
chick?
Beck.
Does she still do it?
She's back in Bellator now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that makes, they had to cut the nine to sign Rowdy Beck.
Rowdy Beck deserves to be back in Bellator, but
oh, she absolutely does.
But
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't get why they cut. I mean, if you want to cut nine fighters, like, yeah, no offense, but cut the guy that just lost to, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
There are guys to cut in Bellator that they seem to be keeping around. Mm-hmm. Even the guy from Italy that fights every time they go to Italy, who like never wins.
Sakara?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
Alessio Sakara.
He's like 2-9 in his last 11 fights. Like, don't cut guys that went 7-2 in the organization.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So Matt Mitrione is the rematch this week against Karatinov, the guy who kicked in the balls.
Bellator?
Yeah, Bellator.
All right.
That's good because there's no other, like, there's not a UFC event this weekend. So we've got something to look forward to.
That's awesome.
Who do you think wins?
Mitrione by ball kick.
Have you ever been kicking the balls?
I'm usually the ball kicker. Yeah. I go for a lot of inside kicks, inside leg kicks.
Got it.
And they just, you know, have bad control or they move and catch them right
Ween
in
dog,
the nuts.
How's the sex life? We haven't talked about that in a while.
Sex life is good. We just banged in a nice fancy jacuzzi bathtub over the weekend.
Nice.
I mean, my girlfriend was on her period. Dude, that bath water was so disgusting, dude.
Wait, what happened?
It's just like, you know, baths in the first place are so gross, but when you're banging in there, you're squirting all over the place, you're coming, you guys are both peeing all over the place, and then you do anal in there.
You did anal with her?
Yeah, in the bathtub.
In the bathtub?
Yeah, it's so disgusting. I was watching the fights, too, at the same time. Romero versus Costa was on, so I had it on my phone watching it, like, on the side.
Wait, I think we have to slow down a little
That's
bit.
Why when I... my.
Wait, so it was
this
her
is the best.
It was her
this
parents.
This is the best thing ever.
Her parents' place?
Yeah, they have like a beach house and we were over there for the weekend.
Okay, and then you guys were having sex?
Yeah.
She had on her period.
In the jacuzzi bathtub.
Was her tampon in there?
No, it was out.
So she took out a tampon.
Yeah, of course.
Can you have sex with a tampon in?
With him, I have to ask.
I've done it before, yeah. I was kind of questioning the girl had a tampon in and she's like, I'm on my period. Like, are you gonna take it out when we bang? She's like, oh no, it's okay.
Was your dick rubbing against
Interesting.
It?
Interesting.
Yeah. No, it was like pushed all the way back.
Oh,
back
like shoved it in?
Yeah. Did it come out her mouth?
No. Or a string comes out. Can floss. No. But
okay,
yeah.
So then she's on a period, and mm-hmm. you're having sex with her anyway, yeah. and then blood coming up through the water?
I mean, no, but when I was finger blasting her, I would always like occasionally look at my fingers, and there's a little bit of blood, but I think most of it just goes in the water.
Right, and then you decided to have to do anal?
So you're just sloshing around in bloody, shitty water.
Yeah.
Now, was there any warm-up in the
Sounds
anal
great.
Or no? Or
Nah, I mean, I just stick it in there, you know. I do like a little like massage therapy down there just to loosen the muscles.
Right.
Which I think is very important if you're going to do that.
Tell your mom listens to this podcast, right?
Yeah.
Go on.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Tyler's mom.
It's pretty hot.
Sorry.
All right, go on. So you were hitting it from behind.
Yeah.
Now, did you... come in her butt?
No, I mean, I'd love to do that, to be honest. I'd love to do that.
I mean, if you're going to come anywhere inside of it, like, that's the place to do it.
But,
yeah.
But why didn't you?
Just out of respect. You know, if that was some Tinder girl.
Respect! Oh.
If that was just some Tinder girl.
Put her in a pile of her own shit and blood.
If it was just a Tinder girl,
I'd
be like.
I respect her too much.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Inside. All right. Priorities,
it's,
man.
It's hard. Your quality of life, when you get like a girlfriend, it drops down significantly because you're having so much fun when you're single. You're banging all these chicks every day. And especially when you get a girlfriend who's not that interested in mixed martial arts at all.
So you're watching the fights while having sex with her in the butt?
Yeah.
Okay, so you busted. So did you bust at all on her back?
Yeah, just in the bathtub.
In the bathtub?
Yeah.
So when? Okay, well, at what point of the fight? Was it like the end of the fight?
It was probably the decision.
Yeah. Winner by split decision. Paulo. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Man, this is a very original podcast, people. You're not going to get this kind of breakdown of fights.
Can you guys believe that Khabib versus Dustin Poirier is like 2 weeks away?
I can't. I don't jinx it.
How can I jinx it?
Dude.
Don't even talk about it.
Yeah. They might get cancer.
Some freak accident might happen.
But this is what I mean by Bellator,
not
right?
Nothing's going to happen.
This is what I mean by Bellator, right? So then, okay, they have... Javi Ayala is a good fighter. I mean, I think he always loses, right? He's the guy. He's fighting Vitaly Manakov, who's 21-1 heavyweight. Oh, by the way, Scott Coker, I guess, is now a troll because he tweeted out, right before the heavyweight fight, Ryan Bader is the best heavyweight on the planet. And the memes that went on after were like...
That's great.
So I retweeted it, and then Scott followed me.
That's great.
But like, what? Like, do you think he's being funny? He must know that... Do you think he really believes that?
No.
I mean, he could. He's their champion.
He could. I don't think he does. But Ryan Bader is one of the best heavyweights on the planet. He has looked
Is he
phenomenal.
In the top 10 heavyweights?
I think so, yeah. I think he could hang in the top 10 in the UFC
sure. Let's see. Okay, is he beating Stipe?
No.
Okay, is he beating Cormier?
He's not beating Stipe. He's not beating DC.
Okay, and he's beating Ngannou?
I don't think he beats Ngannou, but he could just like low single him and get risk control and just do what he did to his last three guys.
But at 265, I mean,
it's going to be tough.
And I'm talking about a guy that, by the way, Ryan Bader's wife follows me on Instagram. She's like this hot Trump supporter. She like loves Trump, is always putting the random like, but she's like this hot country girl. You can tell he like stays he stays out of it. Smoking hot. Like country, I don't even know her name, but she's like a fun chick to follow. All right, so Ngannou, I'm saying no, he's not beating Ngannou. I understand why you would say yes.
Right.
Maybe like maybe Mitrione Ngannou, what he did to Mitrione, but I mean, look at what Anthony Johnson did to Bader.
Yeah.
Granted, Johnson's a better wrestler, but I feel like. If he lands anything, jab's putting him down.
That's the four out. That's top four.
Top three.
What about someone like Derek Lewis?
I almost feel like there's a fight that like I think Ryan Bader could beat Derek Lewis.
Me too.
You know?
Derek Lewis. But
I don't think he necessarily does every time. 10 out of 10, mm-hmm. but 5 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like that's a either way for me.
Arlovsky.
Arlovsky. I think Bader beats Arlovsky too.
Yeah, maybe
just because of. Miles
about modern day like, Alistair Overeem.
That's interesting.
Because isn't he like still like ranked 6 or something?
And Overeem's got pretty good takedown defense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's got really good hips. He knows how like he and he's just such a veteran of the game. Like he knows, you know, he knows all the little tricks and all the little stuff that Bader will try to like get him to bite into.
Yeah, I want to say that Overeem.
But
beats...
like, I mean, that's you know, He's sitting there, top six, seven.
Cain Velasquez? Is Cain still fighting?
I don't know.
But then, yeah, then there's like the other guys, the guys that are coming up that aren't established to heavyweights.
Yeah, Walt Harris, and like that's a great fight. You know, mm-hmm. I'd love to see
Does
that.
He beat Ben Rothwell?
Ooh.
I mean...
Weird. I think so.
And Alexei Olenek? Yeah, maybe so. He is... You know what? At first I said no, but yeah. Now I'm changing my mind.
Yeah, top 10. Like, he's not going to be champ in the UFC, but so, he's top 10.
But what I'm saying about, okay, Bellator, so they got this girl, Taylor Turner, who's 4-5 in the main event, or on the main card, against yeah. Alejandra Lara, who's 7-3. So you're going to cut Chitty Bang and the other guys, but keep a girl that's 4-5?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a losing record.
I mean,
record.
They're obviously trying to build something, you know? They're trying to build something.
But then they have, like, Yaroslav Amosov, who's 21-0. Against David Rickles and Tyrell Fortune, who's a great fighter.
Yes.
He's fighting Rudy Shabroff, who's 6-0. Both those guys are 6-0. And then there's Conry Gracie. Who's that?
I don't know.
He's 1-1. Isn't that Hoist's kid that lost?
I don't know.
Conry
Gracie.
And then Gracie. Austin Vandeford. We know him.
Austin.
Paige VanZant.
Mr. VanZant.
He's fighting Joseph Creer, who's 6-0. But he's on the undercard. Like on the
it's like
prelims.
It's like they just don't know who to promote.
And then they've got Tim Johnson on the undercard. You know, I love Tim Johnson's had a rough go lately, dude. But he's great.
He's great.
And Ricky Bendejas undercard. Mike Kimble, that's the guy I watch. Remember he got caught in some weird thing, but he's really good.
Yeah.
And then Nick Newell's on the undercard. Nick Newell. Who
I don't know why they refuse to promote Nick Newell, man.
15-2.
Is it a Saturday?
Yeah.
Dude, I want to see Nick fight.
I think it's Friday.
They don't promote Nick Newell more.
But like, why is he on the undercard, Nick Newell?
He's the guy. Like, he could be such a star. He'd be such a star.
But why is he on the undercard and Taylor Turner versus Alejandra Lara?
Maybe because it's his first fight in Bellator. They want to make sure, like, fans don't see, like, them putting in this disabled person on their main card.
Dude, Aaron Pico had his first fight ever, and it was like the main event.
And Vandeford 7-0. He's a stud. I mean, either of those guys should be up there. They're thinking maybe as hot women sell fights, but not really. Not if no one knows them. No one's tuning in to see Alejandra Lara Taylor Turner. I'm sorry. People aren't even tuning in to see Javi Ayala versus Vitaly Manakov.
No. I mean,
the guy's 21-1, but Vandeford's a much more marketable guy, even as Mr. Van Zandt is funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Strange. And look, I like Bellator. I've worked with them before. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know what
they're... Yeah, it's like they have some good fights, you know? They have some good fighters, and they just don't push them. They just don't.
Yeah, or if they do push them, it's so fucking slow. Like, finally, with that tournament, it should all be tournaments. Because
I agree.
That's the one thing that they have going for them, I think.
The
I
tournaments
like that
are
tournament
good.
Style.
Because
yeah.
Now we're finally going to see what's his name, the kid, what's his name's kid out of the body shop tested. You know, the kid.
McKee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been a while. I mean, he's, what, 15-0 or something? Or
something like that. 12-0.
But why is he 16-0 when they put Pico against World? By the way, Pico signed with Ali Abdelaziz as the manager.
Great.
I think that is great for him.
It is good for him.
At least they'll give him fucking fights he can possibly win. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know,
just
man.
Just get him comfortable in there. Just get him comfortable in there. He's going to be in the UFC soon.
Or so. Is he shot? Or is his chin gone?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Ooh, I just thought of this. For the Ultimate Fighter new season, it should be Tony Ferguson against whoever wins this Khabib versus Dustin Poirier fight. That's my vote.
That would be great. I feel like Khabib wouldn't do it, though.
Probably not.
You couldn't put him in a house. First of all, he'd have to pray four times.
Khabib lives in Dagestan. Dude.
I mean, he'd have to pray 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty strict diet and everything else. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure, have they had like devout Muslims in the house before? They probably have.
I don't think so. Was Bilal Muhammad on
No.
Ultimate
I mean,
Fighter?
No. But you know who was? Ramzi Nijim was in there, but I'm not sure how.
He's not really that.
It's hard. It's hard to keep up. You got to be disciplined, you know. And I'm not making fun of it. It's okay. I'm just saying I don't think Khabib would actually go for
that. Yeah, you're probably right. That sucks, dude.
I heard now someone said Khabib wants there to be no ring girls during his fights.
Just bears.
I would
with the fucking
bears. These bears holding up signs.
Yeah.
Let's make it a like, full-on circus.
On like a unicycle? Tell me you wouldn't go watch.
Oh, hell yeah, I would.
That'd be so dope, dude.
Hell yeah, I would. Absolutely.
I mean, the bears have had less work done than some of these girls, but like, so, yeah.
No, I get that. Like, that's his religion.
You can't go into a sport and then, look, they've been ring girls the entire time.
Yeah, you can't demand just for your fight to have no ring girls, but I get.
Or like in Abu Dhabi, the girls are all covered up. Like, it's just like a girl with like.
It's like a hijab. Yeah,
like, it's like an Arabic one or something. I don't even know that.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised they don't do that.
What?
Do they do ring girls? They do ring girls in Abu Dhabi, right?
Abu Dhabi and Dubai are very, very.
Yeah, very Western.
Western. Yeah. I've been to both. Dubai especially. I mean, there's prostitutes everywhere.
Really?
Nice.
And it's like, I went to a club at like noon on a Friday, and it was like Saturday at 4 a.m. It was packed at noon. It was all the British people. They celebrate happy hour, I guess, on Fridays. They take off. It's the start of the weekend. And it was like
cool.
DJ dancing at like noon. It was crazy.
Love it. In bed by 7.
Saudi Arabia, I don't think they're having ring girls.
No. They're not having a UFC in Saudi Arabia.
You have to be covered by all women. I've never wanted to leave a country as fast as Saudi Arabia. I could not wait to get out of there.
Were you scared?
I wasn't scared. First of all, I didn't feel wanted, number one. But also, I was a little bit nervous because the religious police are walking around making sure that you observe the Quran. So you have like the regular police. Then you have the religious police.
Yeah.
So if me and you were walking around and like you were talking about something and, hey, remember the time you banged that chick? Oh, yeah, fuck. You can get like a lot of trouble for that. And then they had a place where they told our tour guide, I'm not sure if it was telling us the truth or not, they have a place called Chop Chop Square where every Monday their entertainment is this like outside thing where they chop off your arms if you got caught stealing.
Jeez.
And that's like their, and then we wrote a joke like I lost my arm at Chop Chop Square, but like they chop off your arms if you get caught stealing in Chop Chop Square.
Dude, I legit would go attend that event. I would love to go to that.
I mean,
no.
I probably would too.
No, you wouldn't.
At least once in your
life. Dude, women there, like they can't drive. I think they just got driving recently.
Yeah,
can't use the computer.
It's wild, dude.
Like it's a whole new level of.
It's wild. There's places like that all over the world too.
And they'll argue that. Women have more freedom by being covered all day. It's like 110 degrees out.
Yeah.
And women are in this, I mean, they're sweating and it's just, well, why not give them a choice? They don't have a choice.
Yeah, they don't have a choice.
So yeah, maybe they would like it. Maybe, you know, some people would prefer to do that, but let's give them the option. Because I say the option, most women are not going to be walking around covered head to toe.
You know what, dude?
Black.
I'm kind of into it, to be honest with you. Because think about it. You're, like what the girl actually looks like, it's a mystery. So when you do actually get to bang her, you take it off. It's like, damn, dude. It's just like all this tension is built up in your balls.
Yeah, what about for the girl, I'm saying? We're talking about what you think.
Well, as long as they come, dude. As long as you come, it's no big deal.
All right, this is the...
By the way, for that card, the Khabib Poirier has the entire card like already been made.
Well, first of all, before that, it's next week.
I hope so.
A week from Saturday, it's UFC China, which... I am not excited about this card. I hate to say it. Jessica Andrade versus Welly Zhang.
Gotta go for Dong.
Good.
Dong.
No, Zhang. She's good. She beat Tisha Torres barely, and she's 19-1.
Yeah,
but
she's okay.
Jessica Andrade.
Jessica Andrade's gonna smash her. But.
Then it's Li Jingliang versus Elizu Zaleski dos Santos. I don't know who. Is that the guy who dances and does all that crazy stuff? That's not him, is it?
No.
Then it's Song Kinan versus Derek Krantz, Dai Ung Jung, and then Mizuki Inoue, I heard of her, against Wu Yanan. Mark De La Rosa, I know her because he's married to the other girl, De La Rosa, against Kai Kara France. Yeah, this one is Andre Sukumtath against Sue Madari, Anthony Hernandez.
One of those cards.
Against Ju Young Park.
Like, they didn't put any big names on it.
6 a.m.
Not one.
That's what I was going to say. It's going to be one of those cards, like, early in the morning, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm cool to miss that one.
I'll probably watch it. Knowing me, I'll watch that, but miss the best one of the year. And then after that, like you said, September 7th,
ooh.
Khabib versus Poirier, Felder versus Barboza.
That's the co-main?
Yep.
That's a banger.
It's a good fight.
It's nasty.
It's crazy that Felder seems like less like threatening since he's not commentating. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
You forget how much of a fucking psycho
ruthless
he is.
Ruthless monster he is, yeah.
Dabi Ramos against Islam Makhachev.
Ooh.
Dude.
That's a fucking
Which
great
one's Dabi
fight.
Ramos?
Dabi Ramos is a jiu-jitsu world champion.
Dude.
Yeah.
I guess they have to have a guy named Islam on this card, right? So then,
that's Khabib's boy.
Shamil.
Yeah, Makhachev is an AKA guy.
Curtis Blaydes versus Shamil Abdurakhimov.
I don't know Shamil.
This big...
Big bald guy?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
From India, I think, right?
Yeah, something like that.
India versus Curtis Blaydes. I see Curtis Blaydes winning.
He better.
Diego Ferreira against Merabak Sumanov. Tasumanov. Then a couple of them. Sarah Maras. Again, I love
Cheesecake.
She's awesome. She comes out of my show. She's so awkward.
Really?
But like super awkward, but like sweet.
Quintessential Jewish American princess, except
she's
Canadian.
She's like so nice and sweet, but you think she doesn't like you but she's just awkward. Like once you hang out with her, you're like, oh, this is a really cool person.
Just,
But at first you're like, this person hates me. Bilal Muhammad versus Takashi Sato.
Let's go, Bilal.
Muslim. I'm seeing a pattern here. Salikov against Nordin Talab from Canada. Zach Cummings, my man.
Nice.
A military guy.
Zach Cummings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against Omari Akhmedov. Joanne Calderwood versus Andrea Lee.
Ooh. That's a good fight.
Who'd you rather sleep with? No offense, John Wood.
KGB, man.
Same.
Really?
I got KGB.
I don't know. Something hot about Joanna, though.
Oh, JoJo's.
You know what?
JoJo's smoking.
KGB. Right. It's the accent.
The accent, the tats.
Pretty much any accent, like from Europe, like, dude, gives me such a boner, dude.
Well, one's like a redneck, not a redneck. One's like a country girl.
I can't stand that accent.
She'll
I cannot
wear
stand that accent.
A country hat while riding you. The other
That's
one, I feel
hot.
Like, will start crying during sex and start maybe talking in tongues.
But then I want to, like, you know, comfort her and just rub her head for a little bit and then slip in the finger and finger blast her to make her feel better.
Of course. That's always the way it works.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Obvi.
Has this ever worked for you?
Yeah, dude. I'm freaking the wink.
Of course.
And then Lerone Murphy.
I've heard all the stories.
Against Zoop. Yeah, from you, though. Yeah. I've never heard the stories from anybody else.
That's true. They're probably very, very different from a different perspective.
Zubari Takagov. So, yeah, so that's a good card, though, man. That's
a
really good
card.
It's in Abu Dhabi. Remember when, like, they went to, was it Abu Dhabi, where it was, like, Frankie Edgar beat BJ Penn the first time, but then there was a fight, I think it was, like, it was Anderson Silva fight against, who was it? It was Silva versus somebody, a Brazilian guy, Telles Leitas, I think it was, and the crowd was booing. Because Anderson was, like, joking around and making faces.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Dana was worried that, like, we might not get out of this country. Like, we better put on a good show. And then he, like, threatened to, like,
find them. There was, like, weird tension between Dana and Anderson.
He, like,
for
threatened
a little
to,
while.
Like, dock them during the fight or something if they didn't get going. And, they were like, I remember somebody wrote an article saying, you can't do that. Imagine, like, the Yankees were having a bad game and the owner came in and, like,
you better hit a home run or I'm taking your pay.
It was, like, really weird.
No.
At the same time, like, I understand why Dana wanted to put in a good show, but who knows what kind of investors they had in the UFC from over there and yada, yada. You forget. You know, it's like you forget. But
There's this whole other side of it.
Well, I texted Dana before this fight, though. I said, hey, man, I'm excited for UFC 1, you know, for 231. He goes, me too, bro. Can't wait. Like, he's still like a kid.
Yeah. He's still like excited.
He's one of my favorite people on the earth, dude. I love Dana White.
Dana White is one of the guys that if you show loyalty to that guy, he will be loyal to you forever.
Yeah.
Like, he gave me free tickets, the best seats in the house. He could have given them to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting here. I'm sitting with like Bourdain, rest in peace, and like, you know, Demi Lovato next to me. I'm sitting in front of the Diaz brothers. Like, that's because Dana's like, he's a cool
guy. Yeah,
like,
he's a cool guy.
Who the fuck am I? Like, he's just sitting there like, I like this kid. I'll give him tickets. You know, like,
that's awesome.
He could have gotten them. He could have given anybody those tickets. But he's one of those guys that if you cross him.
Oh, you're done. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't forget.
Yeah. Never.
Like, the Tito Ortizes and the Brandy Couture's and these other people, Helwani, like...
Yep.
He's not a kind of guy that, like, he doesn't forget.
No.
He may forget.
He holds a good grudge.
Oh, my God.
He holds a nice grudge. And he's got the power to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Masvidal wants to fight Diaz in California.
Yes.
But where in Cali?
Forum, Staples Center, any of them. Yeah. Let's go. We
have Dana White giving out tickets.
What tickets do I go to? What show?
Anyone that's in California.
I don't know when the next one's in Vegas, and the next big one.
Let's do a road trip.
I think it's in December.
Let's do a road trip. Vegas, baby.
They're not doing New Year's anymore.
I know. It's like December 12th or something. Yeah.
Cormier apologized for the loss. Don't apologize, man. No. You gave it your best. I mean, he apologized for not listening to his corner, who kept saying wrestle.
Yeah, they were screaming at him to take him.
Maybe apologize to them, but that's only it. Dan Hardy, 37 years old.
37, there we go. So he's got a couple. Well, this is the thing, is that he hasn't been, like, training and taking that damage that he would have been, you know, like, the early 30s. Like, who's to say he can't go till he's 45?
The only fight he ever really got hurt was the Condit fight.
Yeah.
And that was a one-punch knockout, which Freddie Roach told me the guys who knocked you out.
The cleanest way. Oh, yeah.
He says, those guys are doing you a favor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I'd rather get one clean punch and go down than get fucking 15 mm-hmm. and just be woozy.
Which is why Askren might be okay.
I think it'll be fine. It'll be a, you know,
it wasn't even a headshot. It was
a couple
like
months
a neck
of like, yeah, it was
something.
Like a paralyzing, like, cut his nerves off or something.
Junior Dos Santos is going to be on Dancing with the Stars in Brazil.
Oh, fantastic. No. That's going to be so cringy, dude.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I love Junior.
I mean, Santos, dude, he's a great boxer. So he could, I mean, it's just footwork. Dancing and fighting is just footwork.
The WWE is interested in Daniel Cormier.
Interesting.
Come on.
DC, that's where we're going to get DC Brock.
What are we? I don't want to see that.
Exactly.
I don't want to see Cyborg versus Ronda in WWE. I don't want to see a script involved.
No, man.
Come on. Ronda
what
Rousey
if they just start fighting?
Almost lost her fingers. Wow. Instead of 911 during a scene, during a boat shoot. Oh, fuck. Wow, her fingers really are fucked up.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Dude, start calling her Swine Time.
Oh,
dude,
my God.
That's gnarly, dude.
Ronda Swine Time, dude.
That's not the kind of fingered Ronda I wanted to see. Someone wrote, beautiful champ, Coach Edmund. That was one of the comments.
Beautiful champ.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Should
have moved
your head.
Oh, my
damn,
God.
Damn, dude, that's hand movement. Gnarly. That's gnarly.
Someone said, damn, Travis, chill. That's also fucked up. People are just ridiculous.
A boat? Like a boat propeller?
Yeah.
Oh.
I guess it was driven by Misha Tate, too. Should I tweet that?
Yes.
That's kind of funny, right?
Absolutely, dude.
Yeah. The worst part is the boat was driven by Misha Tate. All right. So.
That's funny.
What's next for Romero? I'm actually just reading some of the thread titles. I think he's, I don't know, 205?
I think he still has a future at 185.
Oh, 185?
That's what he wants to do. But he could easily move up to 205.
Romero-Weidman rematch?
At 205.
Oh, man, I don't want to see that for Weidman.
Really?
I don't want to see it for Weidman because I don't think he wins that fight.
He was doing well before he got kneed.
Before he got killed?
Yeah.
Doesn't Weidman have a fight coming up?
I don't know. Yeah, I think he does. Prime Stipe versus Prime Fedor. Who wins?
Weidman, yeah, he does. He has his 205 debut coming up. He's fighting...
The Bagel Boss?
Oh, my God. No, Bagel Boss is fighting somebody else.
Lenny Dykstra.
He's fighting Lenny Dykstra.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shit, who is Weidman fighting?
Platinum Perry is fighting, called out Ben Askren.
Dude, Platinum Perry can't fight for a year.
He called out Nate Diaz and Ben Askren.
What? Yeah. What are you doing calling out people when you... He has a no-contact medical suspension
for 6 months.
Gotta
stay relevant, I guess. Gotta stay relevant.
I mean, yeah, I get it, but just heal, man.
Yeah.
We love you. Everybody loves you.
Yeah, people love
you. You're gonna have a fight when you come back. Just don't need to call anybody out now.
So, anyway, what else you got coming up?
I have my new podcast called Creepy Town. It's now on Spotify. I think it's on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and also follow the Creepy Town Instagram account. I think it's at Creepy Town Podcast. I post a bunch of weird historical photos and, you know, Tyler follows. Yeah.
And, I love it.
Jesse Jess follows. She's like the only one that likes my posts, her and Tyler. Creepy Town Podcast on Instagram, and that's it.
Tyler, what do you got coming up?
Not much. I'm going to be getting back into training here pretty soon. Went to the chiropractor last week, completely fixed my back. Like, I thought I was going to have surgery, and now I'm back to
You know, a lot of people think chiropractic is like a myth, and it's like...
Dude,
snake oil.
This was real.
Yeah,
she fucking healed me.
Yeah,
like she,
really?
She, yeah. I mean, I was off for a really long time before I even got injured. I was just like from jujitsu and wrestling. My hips were all fucked up, and my back was a little like twisted, which is normal. Like it's normal for an athlete. I've never gone to the doctor for any injuries. I've never been adjusted since high school. So it's like I've been doing shit for 15 years, wrong most of the time, and just like you know bad habits, and you get off, dude. Dr. Lindsay Rupp in Beverly Hills. If anybody is in Los Angeles and needs a good chiropractor, she is amazing.
Love it. Love
amazing.
It. Love it.
So yeah, so I'm healed up. Probably going to start getting ready for a tournament. I know Worlds is coming up in like October, so I'm going to do that. And then just training. Follow me. Instagram, SmitherOBJJ, SmitherOBJJ.
All right, guys. I will be in Little Rock, Arkansas this Wednesday to Saturday. Then I'm at Tommy T's, Rancho Cordova. A bunch of Team Alpha Male guys are coming. Can't wait for that. It's August 30th, 31st.
Awesome.
Also, House of Comedy in Arizona, in Phoenix. And then, oh, I'm in Edmonton, September 4th through the 8th in Canada. And I'm at the House of Comedy, September 18th through the 22nd. And then at the Carolina Comedy Club, October 2nd to the 6th in Myrtle Beach, Carolina, and then New Jersey at Tiff's Comedy Club in Morris Plain, New Jersey, October 11th and 12th. You could hear lots of more podcasts on Rockfin, ROKFIN/ Adam Hunter endorsed me there. Thank you guys so much. Take care and bye bye. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Дадаш дуутан дөрвөлэн мөрөлэн.